repeat it after me. Say, this is God's word. Not Pastor Edmonds' word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Spirit of God who's here. And Holy Spirit, your job is to lead us and guide us into all truth. So I step back so you can do that. And I pray that everything that is said and done would not just bring glory to God, but it will be a rhema word for those who hear it. And I thank you today that as we apply what we hear, signs, miracles, and wonders are going to follow our lives because you watch over your word to perform it. And it's in Jesus' name I pray that every believer say amen. Amen, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Can we give Pastor Polo a great hand for standing in for me? He did a good job, didn't he? Well done, my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And then let's give Pastor Lisa a great hand clap for Cher. There was something ushered into that room that made that incredible. Amen. And so today I'm going to be sharing a message that's been brewing in my spirit. And so let me start out by asking a question. How many of you, by the showing of hands, have ever gone through a difficult situation or a hard situation? Raise your hand. Let me see your hand. All right. Good, good, good. If you didn't raise your hand, you're having a difficulty lying. So let me come up here and help you. Well, if you've gone through a difficult situation, I have some good news for you and I have some bad news. Let me give you the good news or the bad news first. The bad news is you're probably going to go through something hard again. Okay? But here's the good news. Anytime we encounter something difficult, God is with us in every problem and will help us through every problem if we will trust him. Psalm 46:1, they're going to put it on the screen. It says, God is. I love that because it didn't say God was. God is a refuge and God is our strength. And God is, watch this, a very present help in what? In trouble. That word present means found to be sufficient. So God is found to be sufficient anytime we are in trouble. And see, God is not just aware of the problems that we go through, but he's actually in the problem with us. Because it says he's a very present help in trouble. So if I'm in trouble and God is in me, we both are in trouble and he's there to help me through it. Amen. Amen. So just like he was with the three Hebrew boys when they were in the fire, he was with them. Just like he was with Daniel when Daniel was in the lion's den, he was with Daniel. Well, just like that, he's with us. And the scripture tells us what we need to do because the Bible says in Hebrews 13:5 in the latter part, he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And I love verse 6. It says, because we know that God would never leave us nor forsake us, he says we should boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what man or my situations can do to me. So here's the question as we jump into the lesson this morning. What is the key to successfully getting through problems and overcoming problems? Because if you live long enough, you've either had a problem or you're having a problem or you're gonna have a problem or you are the problem. Amen. So what's the key? Well, that's what I want to talk to you about. So if you have your notes and if you don't have a copy of today's notes, raise your hand and our ushers will give you a copy. If you're watching online, there's a link that you should be able to click. So I want to talk about this morning, promises in hard places. promises in hard places. And the whole point and the purpose of today's message is to provide you with a roadmap that I believe will help you navigate through life's difficulties and problems, and hopefully show you how to get in position to receive God's promises that he wants to use to bring deliverance to you in the midst of a hard place. And I don't know about you, but I've gone through some hard things. I've gone through some hard places. And so our text is going to actually be found in Genesis chapter 16. Now, there are three people that we're going to be talking about this morning. And two of the people, most of us are aware of, we have knowledge of the third person. But what's interesting is, when we read this story, one of them are going to become a breakout star. You know how you can be watching like a movie or you're watching like some show and somebody who wasn't meant to be the star becomes the star? You know, I like watching this this reality show called Pawn Stars, not Porn Stars. Okay, let me help you. Pawn Stars. Because I like pawn shops. And so there's this reality show called Pawn Stars. And there's a family that owns, see, y'all are hearing porn. See, that's, what's your problem? What's your problem? So this reality show, there's a family that owns this pawn shop, right? And there's a breakout star named Chumley. How many know what, anybody seen that show? But see, Chumley becomes the breakout star. Well, in this story, we're going to see a lady named Hagar becomes the breakout star. So let's read it. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. It says, now Sarai, Abram's wife, had not been able to bear children for him. Everybody say that's a problem. So we already see that there's a problem here with this couple. She wasn't able to have a baby. And it says, but she had an Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, the Lord has prevented me from having children. She says, go and sleep with my servant and perhaps I can have children through her. Wow, what a request. I mean, this is the first, to my knowledge, someone who's thinking about surrogate children. So she was like telling her husband, go sleep with her and maybe I can have children through her. And watch Abraham's response. It said he agreed. Why wouldn't he? He agreed with her proposal. So Sarai, Abram's wife, he took Hagar, the Egyptian servant, and he gave her, Abram's wife gave her to Abram as his wife. So when I was reading this, I didn't realize that Abram actually married Hagar. So it wasn't like he was committed adultery. He married this woman. Now back in those days, you could have more than one wife, but that's not today. Look at your neighbor and say, that's not today though. That's not today. Yeah. So the Bible says this happened 10 years after Abram had settled to the land of Canaan. Watch verse 4. So Abram had sexual relations with Hagar and she became pregnant. But when Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress Sarai with contempt. She started looking at her sideways. Verse 5. Then Sarai said to Abram, this is all your fault. Wow, really? This is all your fault. And I can tell you why she would say that. Cause whose idea was it for her to, for him to sleep with that lady? It was her idea. But why is it Abraham's fault or Abram's fault? You know why it's his fault? Cause he should have said no. This is all your fault. I put my servant into your arms, but now she's pregnant. She treats me with contempt. And so the Lord will show who's wrong, you or me. Abram replied, well, look, she's your servant. So you deal with her as you see fit. Then Sarai treated Hagar so harshly that she finally ran away. The angel of the Lord found Hagar beside a spring of water in the wilderness along the road of Shur. The angel said to her, Hagar, Sarah's servant, where have you come from and where are you going? Watch her response. Read it with me. I'm running away from my mistress. She's a runner. She's a track star. If you don't get it, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Keep your minds pure. Don't worry about it. She says, I'm running away from my mistress The angel of the Lord said in verse 9, return to your mistress and submit to her authority. That's interesting because she's running from her problem, but then the Lord tells the angel to tell her, go back to your problem. And then he says, submit, because you can be in a place and not be submitted to the place. You can work on a job and not be submitted to your boss. You can be married to a man and not be submitted to the man. You can go to a church and not be submitted to the pastor. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm thinking he's talking about somebody right now. He's talking to somebody right now. Yep. So then, watch this now. He added, because here's now, God's about to give her a promise in a hard place. He says, then the angel said unto her, I will give you more descendants than you can count. And the angel also said, here's another promise. You're now pregnant and will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Ishmael. Watch what the name means, because we're going to talk about this later. The name means God hears. And there's some people here today that need to know that in the midst of your hard place, God hears you. Because for some reason, when we get into hard and difficult places, we feel like God don't hear us. But God does hear. And so the Bible says the word, the name Ishmael means God hears. For the Lord has heard your cry of distress. The son of yours will be a wild man, as an untamed, as a wild donkey. He will raise his fist against everyone, and everyone will be against him. Yes, he will live in open hostility against all his relatives. Thereafter, Hagar used another name to refer to God, or to the Lord, who had spoken to her. And watch what it says. And she said, you are the God who what? Sees me. And she said, I have truly seen the Lord, or the one who sees me. So here's point number one, if you're taking notes. And that is, when you're in a hard place, when you're going through a difficult time, don't try to fix what God is supposed to fix. I'm going to say that again. When you're in a difficult time, when you're going, you're in your hard place, when you're between a rock and a hard place, listen, the last thing you need to do is try to fix it. And so the point is, don't try to fix what God is supposed to fix. And so the story we just read, you know, looking at it through today's lens, in my opinion, this would fall into the category of a reality TV show. Because think about it. A wife is giving her husband a pass to cheat on her. And then on top of that, she gives him a pass to cheat on somebody that works for them. And then watch this. I know this will get 1 million views. Think about this. If this was on social media, this would be a million responses. See, because I don't know about you. When I see something on social media, I go straight to the responses. Right? The first part of this story, what we see is a couple whose wife is barren, and they both of age. And then God gives them a promise, because remember, God gave Abraham a promise way before. So God gave them a promise that they would have a child, but the timeline got the best of them, which happens to us. And so because they let time become their enemy, watch this, they do like most of us do. They manufacture the blessing. And I wonder how many of us, when we're stuck between a rock and a hard place, when we're going through a difficult season, when we're facing something that's hard, I wonder how many of us manufacture a blessing. You say, well, Pastor, I ain't manufacturing no blessing. Well, my question to you is, why are you dating somebody that's not saved? You're manufacturing a blessing. Because anything that we do that's outside of the word, that's us manufacturing a blessing. You say, well, I'm married now, Pastor. Well, why are you trying to quit that job that God blessed you with? You testified to everybody, the Lord blessed me with this job. It came in at the right time. I was on my last dollar and they gave me a phone call. So why are you upset? Why you got a bad attitude on your job that the Lord gave you? You're manufacturing a blessing because you want to quit. Maybe you manufactured a blessing. You needed a car, but instead of waiting on the Lord to be Jehovah Jireh for you, you decided to buy a car and it's outside of your budget. So now you're struggling because you manufactured a blessing. So just look at somebody next to you and say, he ain't talking to me. Now look at somebody else and look at him and tell him, but he talking to you though. Here's a take-home statement that I want to give you. If you go God's way, he will pay. But if you go your way, you gonna pay. I'm gonna say that again. If you go God's way, he'll pay. But if you go your way, he's gonna pay. Letarius Whitfield put it like this. If it's God's will, it's his bill. But if you go your will, it's gonna be your bill. And Abraham and Sarah, they allowed their impatience to manufacture a blessing. Proverbs 10:22 says this, the blessings of the Lord, it makes you rich and it adds no sorrow. The Voice translation says the blessings of the eternal is what makes someone's rich and he doesn't add pain. Let me say this, if the blessings of the Lord make you rich and add no sorrow, that means if you bless yourself, it's going to make you poor and make you feel sorry for doing it. You ever had buyer's remorse where you bought something and then you hate that you bought it after you bought it? Well, there are a lot of believers who have blessings remorse because God didn't bless them with it. They blessed themselves. And now whatever you obtain in the flesh, you got to sustain in the flesh. So when we do things our way, it usually results in pain. And that's why it's critical that we decide on the front end that we're going to do it God's way. Everybody say God's way. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord, watch this, with all of your heart. And the problem is, many times, we're trusting the Lord, but we're not trusting him with all. So that means if I'm trusting the Lord with 80% of my heart, there's a 20% of my heart that's not trusting him, which means now the 20% of my heart has the potential, watch this, of manufacturing a blessing. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not a lot. It said lean not to your own understanding. Say amen to that. And so the only way that you and I are going to get a promise in hard places is that we have to have the attitude, I am not going to do this my way. I'm going to trust his way. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Amen. So his way is always the best way. Everybody say his way is the best way. So once we decide that we're going to trust and rely and do it God's way, then what we need to do now is learn how to receive the promise in a hard place, which brings us to point number two, which is you can't, I'm talking about when you're in a hard place, you can't conquer what you won't face. So I want you to think about the problem that you may be encountering right now. You cannot conquer what you won't face. And when we read the story, we can see that Hagar decided to run from the problem instead of running to the problem. Amen. We read in Genesis 16:8, it said, the angel said to her, what are you doing? And she says, I'm running away from my mistress. And many times as believers, we run from the problem instead of trusting God with the problem. Did you know that David, this is 1 Samuel 17:48, when David encountered the Goliath, which was a problem, David did not run from Goliath. The Bible says David ran to Goliath. Listen to what it says. When the Philistine stood up and approached, what did David do, church? He ran toward the line of battle to meet him. You got to run to your problems. You can't run from your problems. Those bill collectors are not going to stop calling. They calling. You know it's them too. You know the number. They calling voicemail. They calling voicemail. They calling again. Block, block, block. No, don't run from them. Run to them. Say, well, Pastor Edmund, I don't have the money. This is what you need to do. Hello? May I speak to Mr. Connor? Let me use Mr. Jones because Pastor Edmund pays his bills. May I speak to Mr. Jones? May I ask who's speaking? This is agent 12345 from Citibank. This is he. Well, Mr. Jones, it looks like you're about to be 30 days late on your bill, and we're just calling to see when you're going to pay that bill. What'd you say your name was again? Mr. Agent 12345. Well, Mr. Agent 12345, I don't have the money. And you know what, Mr. Agent 12345, if you keep calling me, I'm going to tell you the same thing. I said, but I tell you what, Mr. Agent 12345, when God blesses me with this money, I'm going to make sure you're the first person I call. As a matter of fact, Mr. Agent 12345, why don't you and I touch and agree right now that God's going to open the door and pray. Father, I thank you for Mr. Agent 12345. I thank you for him calling me. And Lord, your word says where two of us agree on earth as touching anything, we can have it. So I agree with Mr. Agent 12345 that you're going to send this money to me. And when you do, God, it's going to be a miracle to him. And it's definitely going to be a miracle to me. And I thank you that it's going to come to pass in Jesus' name. Thank you, Mr. Agent 12345. Click. You can't run from your problems. You gotta run to your problems. Somebody say amen to that. Running from your problems shows that you feel conquered, but God's word tells us we are more than conquerors. But here's a twist to the story. Hagar's problem didn't even start with her. Hagar's problem started with Abram and Sarah. And sometimes it's the problems of others that sometimes creates problems for us. Have you ever experienced some problems that did not come from you? They came from somebody else. And those are the ones that are even harder to deal with because you're not in charge of the problem. You're a bystander. You're one of those victims, a drive-by victim. You're one of those persons that got a stray bullet. Amen. Everybody say years ago. I need to hurry up. Years ago, you know, when I was in high school, went through high school drug free. No drugs. Most of my friends got high. I can't tell you how much weed I passed up in high school. A lot. And then when I started smoking weed, I wished I'd have took all the weed that I passed up. But anyway, went through high school drug free, get to college, and I end up being a roommate with this cat named Danny. Now Danny was a PK, he was a preacher's kid. So why is it that the preacher's kid is the one that got me smoking weed? So Danny introduced me to weed. I started smoking weed. So, you know, I used to go, my first college I went to was Jarvis Christian College in the East Texas. Yeah. And so we would drive home. And so this particular weekend we was at home and we was hanging out at Keith's Park. Y'all remember back in the day, Keith's Park. So we hanging out, you know, and back then, you know, that's where you cruised and you played loud music and you circle around showing people your cars and all that kind of stuff. And so, we sitting there, we chilling that day. Me, Danny, my cousin Sid, just some other boys, we just chilling. And Danny had some weed, but he didn't have no weed paper. So don't look at me like that. How many ex-weed smokers in the room? Let me see your hand. No. 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 Ain't no seven people out of no 500. No. No. Okay. See, I don't want you to have to repent from lying. So I'm going to ask the question again, okay? Let me qualify. I did not say, did you still smoke weed? I didn't say, did you smoke some last night? I said, how many ex-weed smokers do we have in the room? Would you please raise your hand? Thank you. Now you don't have to repent. So Danny's stopping all these cars in traffic. You got weed paper. You got some weed paper. You got weed paper. And so two guys that he stopped, you know, he stopped him and I, you know, he gave him some attitude and then he was holding them up so much the park police ended up giving him a ticket. So they rolled back around and, you know, as they circled back around, you know, Danny left. Danny done went home. I don't know where Danny went, but he gone and we still chilling, having a good time. The guys pulled back up. They was like, where your friend at? Like, I'm gonna tell him. I'm like, why you need to know? Well, we need to know where he is. I ain't telling you where he is. And then they hit me. Boom. So now we ended up with a whole brawl. I'm talking about like a 10-person fight. It was big, right? And then you know what? We all fighting and going on, and Danny at home. Danny done created a problem for Evan Connor, and Danny ain't even here. And there are some people that have caused some problems in your life, and they listen, and you're like, man, what do I have to do with you? And Abram and Sarai created a problem for Hagar. And things got so bad that Hagar decided to run from the problem. But it's hard to get a promise for a problem you're not willing to face. So here's a take-home statement. This is good right here. Sometimes it's easier to dismiss so we won't have to reminisce. I'm going to say that again and I'm going to explain it. Sometimes it's easier to dismiss. In other words, sometimes it's easier to not even deal with the problem. You just sweep it under the rug. See, you can't do this. If you marry, you can't sweep problems under the rug because the rug's going to get big. Now, you can't sweep it under the problem. Listen, sometimes it's easier to dismiss so we won't have to reminisce. I don't want to have to deal with it. And then don't let a problem that was triggered by somebody else trigger something in us. So now the trauma that we went through when this problem first happened to us back in the day, now it's being triggered by somebody else creating a problem for me. And now I don't want to reminisce. I don't want to look backwards because it's making me feel a certain type of way because of what happened to me back then. And facing some problems can do that, but God, everybody say, but God. But God's so good and he loves us so much, he'll go the extra mile to help us. And that's why he went that extra mile with Hagar. The angel showed up to her even though she was running from the problem. And there are some of you in this room and there are some people watching me, you're running from some problems. So let's relook at something real quick, because the angel said to her, you're now going to get pregnant and give birth to a son. And his name is going to be God Hears, which says now, in the midst of problems, God hears. Everybody say, in the midst of problems, God hears. And the angel, what he said to Hagar, I want it to be a reminder to us that when we encounter hard places or hard problems in hard places, that God hears us. And if he hears us, watch this now, that means he sees us. The name Ishmael means God hears. But if he hears, he sees, which means that the pain and the confusion and all the different issues, the inconveniences that came with the problem, God already is aware of that. And here's the thing about it too. Others may hear our words, but God hears our heart. Which brings us now to our third point. Because sometimes we are the result of someone else's flesh decision. And let me just throw this in. Let me just throw this in real quick. God had given Abraham and Sarai a promise way before this, which means that you and I can try to pursue God's promise in the flesh. And if you do that, it's going to create problems every single time. The only thing God needs from us when we're encountering a problem, he wants us to face it with faith. If you face it with flesh, you're not going to see it right. You're not going to say it right. You're not going to act right. Because, you know, how many know if you're in a problem, and you in the flesh, you ain't going to act right. Which brings us to now point number three, and that is when you're in a hard place, you got to know that if God hears, then God sees. When we get the revelation that God hears us, we must believe that he sees us. And if he sees us, he knows what's happening. And so we can see that in the story in Genesis 16:13. But here's what I want to do here. Because, see, some of us, we have history with God. Yesterday, you might have needed him as Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. You may have needed him, last month as Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. But now you're going to have to do like Hagar. You're going to have to see him as the God who sees and hears. Because if you don't believe that God sees, and if you don't believe God can hear you, then you won't believe he can fix it. And here's what's interesting. God always sees the end of the problem. He sees the problem solved before the problem even takes place. Isaiah 46:9 says, remember the former things, for I am God. There is no one else like me. Verse 10, he says, I'm God and I declare the end from the beginning. In other words, he knows what's going to happen at the beginning. He knows what it's going to look like at the end. And I love Psalm 77:19 because remember the children of Israel, God delivered them through the Red Sea, right? Okay, but I'm going to show you that God had went through the Red Sea before they got there. In any problem that you and I encounter, God has already walked through the problem before we see the problem. In Psalm 77:19, it talks about the children of Israel and God walking them through the sea. He says, your way of escape for your people was through the sea and your paths through the great waters. Watch what he says. And your, watch this church, and your footprints were not traceable. God had already walked through the Red Sea. And that's why he said to Moses, Moses, all you got to do is obey me and lift up the rod because my footprint has already gone through there. And because my presence has gone there, my provision and my breakthrough is there too. He says your footprints weren't even traceable and you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses. Here's a take-home statement. God sees you in the problem, but he views you through the promise. Oh, this is so good, church. I hope you get this. God sees us in the problem. Cause some of us, God, don't you see what's going on with me? Don't you see my money is funny? My change is strange. Don't you see my husband, my wife acting all crazy? You see my kids acting stupid, Lord? He sees us in the problem, but he views us through the promise. You say, well, Pastor, what are you talking about? Because God is Jehovah Jireh. He doesn't just provide a present need. He provides needs before we have them. So his provision has already been released before we even saw that we had a problem. And so in a situation like this, God needs us to know that it's fixed before it's fixed because he fixed it. Did y'all get that? 1 Corinthians 10, I'm closing here because we always think our problems are unique. But it says there is no temptation or trial that comes to us than such that is common to man. But God will with every temptation, he makes a way of escape. Listen to the Amplified. No temptation, regardless of its source, has overtaken us or enticed us that is not common to human experience. Nor is any temptation or trial unusual or beyond human resistance. But God is faithful to his what? He's faithful to his word. And that's why you cannot choose to walk in the flesh when you're in a hard place, because God is only responsible for responding to his word. So if we get outside of his word, deliverance is not guaranteed. He's compassionate and trustworthy. He will not let you to be tempted above your ability to resist, but along with the temptation, he has in the past and is now and will always provide the way out as well, so that you and I will be able to endure it without yielding and will overcome the temptation with what? With joy. So sometimes we need a promise in the middle of the problem. So you say, well, Pastor Evan, how do we do that? Here's the last point very quickly. How do we receive a promise in the middle of a problem? Here's number four. Prayer is the place to express our problems, but it's also the place to receive downloads for our problems. I'm going to say that again. Prayer is a place to express our problems, but it's also the place to receive downloads for our problems. Prayer has to become a way of life. It can't just be a life jacket. It needs to be a lifestyle. See, we just can't want solutions to our problems because, listen, solutions tend to be focused on fixing the problem, but a promise focuses on fixing us. Because guess what? You might be the problem. When God says he works things together for good, it might be you that he needs to work on for things to become good. Say amen to that. And prayer is that thing. And you know what? As I have matured, I've appreciated prayer more than I ever have. Because I've watched God do some things in prayer. And let me tell you something. Some of you right now, hot dog, some of you are right now, you're in some problems. And here's the thing. Some of y'all are in some problems that God created for you. You say, what? Yep. God will create problems for you Because he's trying to get you on the path of his ordered steps. See, if your steps are ordered by the Lord, then that means in that process, he's got to alter your steps as well when they're not going in the right direction. And God will cause problems. Listen to me, church, because some of y'all in it. See, y'all, you ain't going to fix a problem that God has made for you until you decide you're going to do it God's way. The only reason Pharaoh experienced all those plagues is because God was sending him problems for him to do the right thing. The only reason God sent that whale to Jonah is because Jonah was not doing what God wanted him to do. And so he had to send a whale to Jonah so Jonah could stop doing what he wanted to do so Jonah would do what God wanted him to do. And sometimes we have some problems that God created. That happened to me. Everybody say years ago. Well, no, this not even that long ago. So when I was single, I had decided 75%. I was 75%. I ain't gonna get married no more. 25%. Whatever the Lord want. And that's how I was. And that's how I was gonna be. Because you know, being single is a choice in the Bible. Paul said, "I wish you could be like me." So I was like, "I'm gonna be like Paul. I don't have to deal with nothing. I ain't got to ask nobody nothing. I can do what I want to do. I can do, you know, whatever, right?" And so, you know, what I did not realize at the time is that God never wanted me to pastor as a single person. But I decided 75%, I ain't getting married. So God started sending problems my way. Oh, yeah. And some of the problems he sent my way, they gone now, but I had some though. No. I started getting stalked, people following me, people sending me proposals, asking me out to dinner. I couldn't even, you know, me and First Lady, we huggers. I want to hug people. I couldn't even hug some women because they took the hug wrong. Oh, God told me this and God told me this. And I'm like, God ain't told me none of that. And so it started frustrating me because I'm like, wait a minute, Lord. What the Lord was trying to get me to see. And the only way he was going to do it was to send me some problems. Ebbing. So finally I got so frustrated. Cause you know, one day I'm on my way to work. Pastor Polo called me and said, "P.E., do not come to the building. They're sitting right outside in the car waiting on you." I'm like, Jesus. So I got upset. I'm like, "Lord, what's the problem? I'm trying to do what's right now." I don't want you single, Ebbing. And let me tell you something, God will never override your will for his will to happen. You got to be like Jesus and say, "Not my will, but thy will be done." And I'm so happy that I allowed his will to become my will because I got something that made my will happy. And so there are some people in here. Oh man, it's 10:30. I'm over. I did want to share one thing with the single ladies. How many single divorced women in here? How many single divorced women? Can I share this? Will y'all give me 5 minutes? Okay, 5, 10, 15, 20. Now, we got a transition, but let me just say something that the Lord dropped in my heart. It can apply to single men that are divorced, but he was really focusing on single women that's divorced. He was like, "Eben, a lot of the single women that are divorced, they're still divorced because legally they're separated from their ex. But watch this. Spiritually, they still are connected to their spouse, their ex." I said, "What?" He said, "The reason they cannot get somebody in new is because they're still connected to the last person." And listen, divorce papers don't divorce you spiritually. It divorces you legally. So the same thing you did to enter that relationship is the same thing you got to do to get disconnected from it. When you stood up before the pastor, you made some vows. I vow to be faithful. I vow to death do us part. I vow. So all those vows, if you have not, watch this, renounced those vows, you are still connected to that person. I met a man on the plane just like that. He compared every woman he met to his ex, and it's because he was still connected to the vows that he made. And if you have not purposely denounced or renounced the vows that you made on your wedding day back in the day, I know you still ain't married to Junior, but you still married to Junior. And so there's some people, you can do it on your off time. Maybe in the second service, I'll walk them through it. When you get home or whatever in your car, you need to renounce everything. You say, well, I don't know what I said. Well, I know some of the things you said. You said to death do you part. You said you was going to love them. You said you were going to adore them. You were going to cherish them. Well, all that kind of stuff. What you need to get in the car. I said, well, Lord, Pastor Edmund said, I'm still connected. So I'm disconnecting right now in the name of Jesus. I renounce every vow I made. I renounce being dead, do us part. I renounce being connected. I denounce loving to the end. I denounce all of that in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for sending me the right man now, because I'm disconnected to the man I used to have or the woman I used to have. That was free. So there's some people with every head bowed and every eye closed. You got some problems, and they some big problems. You got some problems. And God, you can look at your notes to see how to apply to the word today, but God wants to download you some solutions to the problem. But the first step is you deciding you're going to do it his way. The second thing, you got to stop running and face it. And so there are some people in the room today that are facing some, you in a hard place. You're in some difficult places. It's hard. You're in a problem. And you know that this message is talking to you, and God is saying, okay, I'm ready to pull you up and I'm ready to pull you out, but you gotta first be willing to do it my way. And so if you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Evan, I came in with this problem you talking about, and I'm not sure how to solve it, but today I'm willing to do it God's way so I can get his answer. I want to agree with you in prayer today that God's going to download that answer. And that's why I'm asking you to just recognize yourself. If that's you, say, Pastor Evan, that's me. Raise your hand if you're here and this message is talking to you, and you know that I'm talking to you, and you're in some problems. And okay, I see hands all over the place. Keep your hands up. I'm going to pray with you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, you said where two or three of us touch and agree on earth as having anything, you hear us. And those who have their hands up because they're experiencing some problems in their life right now, you sent me to minister to them this message. And so I pray that today they would decide to do it your way. And I get in agreement with them that you're going to download the answer to the problem. You're going to position them to receive the favor, receive the resources, or receive the answer that they need to get out of the problem. And most of all, Father, I thank you for helping them by them yielding to you, so that, Lord, their ears are in tune to hear what you have to say. Thank you for the answer in Jesus' name. You can put your hand down. If you're here today and you died today and you're not sure you go to heaven, I want to pray for you. If you're here today and you need...